Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Homestead Homeland Show. Hello and welcome to the Homestead Homeland Show. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome, welcome. I'm so glad that you are here today. I am your host, Sam Shell, and I'm coming to you live from my studio apartment in Baltimore, Maryland. And on today, episode 8, we're going to have a really good conversation. I've been taking some time to do some research on my bloodline, and I'm coming across some amazing things for the collective. So before we begin, let's take a deep breath in and release it out. The song you just heard is from Baltimore's Brad T.T., the artist. Thank you to those who are first-time listeners and those who are returning. In case you are not aware, Home to Homeland podcast is inspired by my one-woman dance play called Home to Homeland. TT the artist is actually going to be on my IG Live tonight. We are doing a I'm interviewing her tonight for the Home to Homeland IG Live portion of this. So at 7 p.m. tonight, you are more than welcome to follow me at TrueDancer92, True without the E, and you can hear our conversation and see all that we are going to concoct and talk about. I'm excited to have her on. So in March 2019, I premiered Home to Homeland, which is an interactive dance theater translation of my journey from my living room in Baltimore to Senegal. The performance travels through various rooms that represent pit stops in New Orleans and daytime television via the Wendy Williams Show, where I interview myself on the meaning of home. My final stop lies in Senegal, where I realize that home is and has always been beneath my feet. This interactive experience opens up a world of non-biased seating within the audience and sparks a deeper conversation of the similarities of home that defy race, location, status. Home to Homeland has now evolved into a podcast series where I discuss the interconnectedness of Baltimore and Africa, specifically Senegal. I also interview local artists on their meaning of home and how their path has carved the way for others in this great city. This podcast is an investigation of the hidden cultural gems that cultivate a vital rhythmic flow in the timeline of Baltimore City and Senegal and all the other places in between. I have returned home here to Baltimore after many years of being a working artist in New York City and Philadelphia, and my return home is a testament of a collective homegoing that many millennials are heeding to during this pandemic. I was called to return here to honor the bloodline of this land, and I honor them through my Afro Club dance classes, which is a dance class that fuses Baltimore Club and West African dance traditions, connecting with local artists, bringing all that I have learned and claiming what I have lost on my journey, and telling the story of the unheard. Some of the greatest people I have met have been in bodegas, corner stores of Baltimore, the bus stops, the corners. This city has a story, and it's connected to Africa, and I'm here to find that out. Exactly what is that connection? A few things to keep in mind is that I'm not an expert of these cultures. I'm just a conduit in which they are melded and expressed. After 5 years of specifically studying dance on the continent and a lifetime of being a Baltimorean, I speak from a perspective of experience and not expertise. This is an African-centered space. I've been saying that for many weeks, but I'm going to shift that and say this is an Aboriginal-centered space and a safe space for my people regardless of lifestyle, sexual expression, or spiritual expression. If it resonates with you, it resonates. And last but not least, I'm always accepting Cash App and Venmo donations. You can always donate at Sanshell Brown and at Sanshell Brown for Venmo and $ Sanshell Brown on Cash App. I appreciate all that is given. And we're going to jump right into tonight. So tonight is episode 8, and I have to break down the numerology of the number 8. So the three characteristics of the number 8 is that 8 is ambitious, 8 is all about giving back, and 8 is also enduring. I recently learned, actually, that my soul urge number is a number 8. So I embody these qualities. And one thing to say about the ambitious portion of the number eight is that number eight has an ambition that would not be put lightly. If they want to achieve something, they are going to achieve it. They also believe in giving back and realizes that successes are not alone and will intentionally recognize and appreciate any help that has been received. Eights are also known to be enduring. Even when the chips are down, they are known to be capable of taking lemons and making lemonade. There are also the shadow side of number eight. Number eight can be seen as materialistic because they like to revel in their accomplishments and surround themselves with nice things. They also can be authoritative, and it's no surprise that all these accomplishments can go straight to their head and can be used for them to feel a sense of personal power. And they can also feel entitled to the things that they want. They're used to getting what they want. So sometimes they can overlook the need to ask for permission or to ask for forgiveness. So knowing myself, I know that I have embodied all of these things, the shadow and the good side. But on this day, I channeled this number eight, the shadow and the light side of it, because this is actually right on cue with the topic that I want to talk about tonight and also with the guest artist that I'm having on today, TT the Artist. But for our podcast tonight, we're going to talk about this land is your land. This land ain't our land. So if y'all have heard the song, this land is your land, this land is my land, no. This land is our land. This land is the Aboriginal's land. This is not the land of everyone else's. People have migrated here and taken over and completely oppressed the original people of this land. And as I have been doing my research on Baltimore, I have recognized that Baltimore is a city of ancients. And some of the first enslaved Africans landed here, and many Aboriginals were already here. Lately, I've been asking the question of what exactly is this land, who stood here before me, and why has it been stuck in a decline or an ever-ending loop? I've resurfaced some research around the American Indians, and as I have been digging into my ancestry and family tree, I realized that much of my ancient lineage is connected also to the lands of North America. I have been a long-time advocate for Africa. I feel connected to the continent and the people and the culture, yet I do recognize more and more that this land of America also holds some precious golden jewels. As I have studied Baltimore club dancing and West African movement, there's many correlations between the fast footwork, the polyrhythms, and circular structures of bystanders, ain't nothing but indigenous. When we think about the Aboriginals of this land, we see the correlations of dance for purpose, ritual, ceremony, and many other reasons that mirrors the works of our African brothers and sisters. I have recently come across Dan Calloway's YouTube channel, and I had the chance to hear his perspective on the subject of Aboriginals. I learned a lot, y'all. So if y'all want to take a look, he's on YouTube. His name is Dan Calloway, and I've also been following some other genealogist specialists. When I started to do this work, I didn't think too much about where I was actually standing, the fact that I was in a so-called African-American or a melanated person that was standing on this soil. I never really considered much about the ownership or the people who were here already, who are connected directly to my bloodline. I didn't really think about that. I was so focused on Africa and finding those correlations. And though I still think that that work is important and I still do view Africa as a place that has great potential, I have to really look at those of this land, those who have been here. And one of the things that brought my attention on Dan Calloway's YouTube is he breaks down a lot of history. And one of the things that he speaks about is a reversal, so to speak, of history, where we have been taught that we were taken from Africa and brought here. But he brings up a great point where he says that there were us who were here who were brought to Africa, and that the African Americans were actually enslaved in Africa. And, you know, we always hear about this story of certain Africans participating in slavery, but we don't think about it being reversed. So listening to this brother speak, I had to really take a moment and just say, wow, you know, what if that is actually the case? And, you know, I really wouldn't put it past anybody, you know, because I really think that a lot of our history and a lot of what has been told to us has been reversed. So what if that is the case? We as African-American people, those who, and I don't even want to use that status anymore, I'm really trying to find the correct words, but Aboriginal people, we were here first. You know, it really, and I think I spoke on this the last time when I was saying I don't identify as a minority for nobody, you know, because we are the majority of the globe. We are the ones that have taken over the globe, and it makes sense that we are constantly trying to be annihilated by the police. We are constantly the ones that are harassed. We are constantly the ones that are being oppressed. And those who have been in America have been greatly oppressed. I'm not taking it away from any source of slavery or oppression that's happening in other places, but the oppression that we have dealt with and the fact that we have survived it, it says a lot about who we are as a people. Now, for some people, this may sound like jibber-jabber, but he did bring up some really good facts, and he talked about the Homestead Act of 1862 in U.S. history, where the legislative action promoted the settlement and development of the American West. It was also notable for the opportunity it gave African Americans to own land, and President Abraham Lincoln signed the Homestead Act into law on May 20th, 1862. And as we know, slavery, so to speak, was abolished, or really certain reins were taken off in 1865 in most places. Some places were still enslaving their people, but that's neither here nor there. That's a story for another day. But one thing that he brought up about the homestead, look, I'm getting so excited I can't even speak. One thing that he did bring up about the Homestead Act is that he was saying that this gave whites who were based from Europe, white peasants of Europe, and even some from Africa, crazy, right, access to our land that was taken from the indigenous ancestors. So they bamboozled us out of our land, period. They later offered another Homestead Act after the Emancipation Proclamation and offered which was the Homestead Act of 1866, which was the 40 acres and a mule that everybody talks about, but nobody had the money to buy the land. So they would price the land out, basically how they do now with gentrification, right? They would price it, put it at a price point where they knew that people who were considered Negro could not buy their land. So ain't that something? You come over here and you take our land, you take our people from our land, and then on top of that, you put this crazy system into place and you put law into place where you allow invaders to come onto our land and take our land away, and then have a nerve to pass another bill and say, oh, well, you can have 40 acres and a mule, and then price it out so that we can't have 40. This is the biggest act of narcissism, if you could ever tell me. And, you know, the more that I dig into the history of this land, I just get so enraged, because I'm like, how are we still under the spell and asleep, where we don't recognize that we are standing on our own dream and our own vision? We got to take this back, y'all. Years ago, I had a dream where President Trump was in office, and I saw a highway where there were people who owned land who were on the upper half of the highway, and people who didn't own land who were on the lower half of the highway. It was like a landslide almost. So the people who did not own land, and these were melanated people, they were sliding down the downslide, and people who had the land, they were on the upper and up, but they had to walk, and they had to almost climb the upper part of the land. So I had this dream years ago, and I was like, man, you know what? Land is going to be important. Land is going to be the currency. And as we see these days, so much is happening with gentrification, and left and right, you just see the land being literally ripped up and taken away from people. People of color are being moved to the outskirts, and they are taking over the cities, and they're stacking these Disneyland houses, like my mother likes to say, on top of each other. And we're losing a war that's happening, and we don't even realize that the war is happening. So while we're being distracted by so much other stuff, we don't have land, we don't have our own ways of eating, we don't have our own economy, we don't have our own nothing. So once they done built up and bought up all the land, I can guarantee you that there's going to be some sort of slavery once again, We're still in a sense of slavery, in case you didn't know. If you're working for somebody, you are employee, you're paying taxes, you are enslaved. You are not a free person. Freedom is not living the master's vision. We are the owners of the land, the keepers of this earth. It is crucial that during this time we reclaim the land. With a rapid pace of gentrification, we run the risk of being enslaved again and having to work the system in inhumane ways in order to gain access to good land and homegrown food. We must learn how to grow herbs, food, and self-medicate, and we must also learn how to birth our babies. We got to be sovereign again. We must learn the languages our ancestors spoke, and we're not going to know that from nobody Googling or telling us. We got to go within and figure out what are the languages, what are the words, what is the code. Your ancestors are waiting for you to rejoin them. We must let go of the American nightmare where everyone gets their own version of master's house with a white picket fence. The 400-year reign of oppression is up, but they will not go down without a fight. It is time to detach from the distractions and get back to the root of the matter. Will you be running out of your sovereignty again? This is deep, y'all. This weekend, I had a chance to walk past Frederick Douglass's house. I went downtown and we're near going to H&S Bakery. I love that bakery, by the way, in case you have not. It just has a signature smell, and the cookies are amazing. And I was just, I'm amazed at how many prolific people lived on this land of Baltimore. This is a land of free people. Frederick Douglass was the one to take over the Freedmen's Bank after the assassination of Lincoln with his own money from sharecropping. He taught himself how to write. He taught himself how to read. Frederick Douglass was the GOAT, okay? And we need to embody that energy and channel that energy of Frederick Douglass. And there are reasons, nothing is by happenstance. Nothing is by accident. You know, I think about all the people who really walked this land of Baltimore. They walked this land for a reason, because this is a gateway. And if we can tap into that energy, we can open up our ways in which we can be sovereign again, and we can do the impossible. I had a dream the other night where New York looked like a third world country. The buildings were in terrible conditions. It was almost as if bombs had been set off, and we were left with what we had. There were only bodegas or corner stores available, not to mention I've had multiple dreams of dollar stores being the only source of food, clothing, and house supplies. Why are you thinking every place that you go into, there's dollar stores being built here and there? Food shortages, we're talking about coming up. We don't know how to eat off our land. We're hooked on the junk food. We're hooked on this and that, and I'm not exempt from this. But it's coming to make me think about these questions in a deeper manner. We have to monitor. We have to look at how we are living. Look at how we're living. We ain't free. We're not free. And I'm not here to fearmonger, but as I said earlier, I give a voice to the unheard. Our ancestors are the unheard also. And they're calling us to reclaim what has been stolen. Rebel. Africa and America both have a place for us. Other places in the world may also have a place for us. Where do you choose to reside? How do you remake and reclaim your understanding of home? How much do we need to let go in order to come into the fuller version of ourselves? Let us not rest in a non-guaranteed so-called freedom that the American narrative provides. I leave you with this question. Where are your dreams the clearest? That's where you need to go. What does liberation look like to you? And what must you do to accomplish it? So that's all that I have for you all today. I hope that this is triggering some questions for you. And I'm always open for discussion. If you all want to reach out to me, you can reach out through my Instagram at TrueDancerWithoutTheE92. I'll be on at 7 p.m. talking to TT the artist. The topic may be a little lighter, but this was just on my heart, and I gotta use the real for the real. This is my time to research and archive. So y'all can reach out to me then, or you can email me at sanchelbrown@gmail.com. I'm really interested to see what you think. But with that being said, remember that no matter where you go during this time, home is always beneath your feet.